Torero podcast 150, somewhere in the south of Poland, on my way to Slovakia / Czech Republic. Eventually I shall arrive in Prague, and I hope to do a free talk, a free event, a meetup in Prague before I fly to St. Petersburg to do the boot camp with Mystery and Baxter. So I'll let you know more about that next week. And I'm not there yet. I've just come back from a weekend with a feisty, fiery, frame-controlling Russian girl who I'd met in the Baltics through day game, and I went back and closed the loop. So I'll let you know about that as well later on in the podcast, because this podcast today is about wider issues. It's celebrating one of my favourite books of all time, because this is podcast 150. But I'll link it to Frame, and I'll link it to day game, because if you've dated Russian girls, you'll know it's all about Frame and biting your tongue, but leading, being strong, and, you know, saving the royal flush technique till the very end. And luckily I didn't need to use it. I was using a lot of qualification, I'll tell you that. That was a good technique, you know, qualifying her. She was only 23, I'm 38. And then I used some false disqualification. If you don't know what that is, go back to the Street Hustle videos or buy the textbook. False disqualification, a classic pickup technique where you say why you're not boyfriend material. I said, you know, I'm much older than you. We have different cultures. The way we met was so fast and weird and random, you know. I'm much taller than you. I travel, you know, you're in Moscow. And the more you do this, the more she started to qualify herself and jump through my hoop. But anyway, today's podcast 150 means if you've listened all the way from podcast number one, you've been hearing Tom Torero come in your ears for 75 hours. Jesus Christ, you need therapy. It doesn't seem that long ago when we did podcast 100, but 150, my word. When we get to 200, I will pause and think about, is it getting repetitive? Is it getting stagnant? Shall we change direction more towards the Black Sheep Bandit radio kind of thing? Or shall we keep going with day game dating and seduction? We shall see at podcast 200. But anyway, today is all about a book that I read as a PDF on the flight back from Japan at the end of last year. And people had kept telling me to read this, saying, Tom, it's just like your life philosophies. You're going to love it. But I put it off because it is by a guy who ended up running for the presidency of the United States some time ago. His name is Harry Brown. His name was Harry Brown. He's passed away now. He was a libertarian candidate. So I thought, oh no, this is a political manifesto. And as you know, I can't be arsed with politics. And quite ironic, really, that he wrote this book before he got into politics. But in the book, he advises, you know, staying away from politics, because it's a trap. It's standing on a soapbox trying to persuade others. It's very nitpicking. But anyway, that's what he went on to do. So I thought, okay, I'll give it a read. And it was one of those books which you could say in grandiose terms, it changed my life, but it really did make me think, and it still makes me think. From reading it to today, most days I've thought about things in that book. And when I read that PDF, it was one of those moments where I was nodding all the way through thinking, this is exactly what I've been thinking. Isn't this great that somebody wrote this in 1973? This supersedes all the kind of Tim Ferriss, Tony Robbins stuff. Amazing. About how to be free in an unfree world. That's what the book's called. Get the PDF, get the electronic version, because weirdly a paperback is very expensive. I guess it's a collector's edition, because perhaps it didn't go into reprint that many times. But if you read up on this book, you'll see that it changed many people's lives. The reviews are quite staggering. And the second disclaimer is, I thought, well, I don't want to read it because it's just self-helpy. And you know that I hate self-help, or hate's a rather strong word. I really dislike self-help material, the self-help industry, because I think it's procrastination. It's an excuse to not take action. And for me, changing your mindset, changing your quote-unquote inner game, changing your beliefs, all comes from outer action. I don't see how being in a seminar and staring in the mirror or even a bit of therapy can change you fundamentally to rewire the neurons. But actually going out, taking action, proving yourself wrong, rewiring your brain quite literally. That's magic. So anyway, when I saw this in the self-help category, I thought, oh no, it's just kind of motivational feel-good stuff. But no, this really is a book that makes you zoom out and think, hang on a minute, I don't just need to make a binary decision between this political party and this political party, or this ideology and this ideology. There is something far more nuanced, and putting you in the driver's seat, putting you, most importantly, in control. That's what the book is about, right? Taking back control, taking back ownership, and therefore being able to change stuff, right? So rather than ranting on a soapbox, sorting yourself out first. MYOB, mind your own business. MYOFB, mind your own fucking business, right? Before you start moaning and whining and crying, you sort yourself out. Sounds very easy to do. It's extremely hard, right? You can remind yourself of it daily. I think about it daily. But this book picks how to do it, why to do it. It's pretty practical. Right, a day gamer can make this far more practical, because we're out there every day minding your own business, trying to sort out yourself. Yeah, sort out your own value and deliver that value, rather than worrying and whining and moaning about other things and trying to change other people. You're actually going out there and you're changing cities, and you're perhaps changing jobs and changing countries, or you're being crazy and buying a van and whatever. Right, this is very outer gamey to change inner game stuff. Let me just look at my notes, because it's a detailed book. I can't go through it all today, but I really, really, really advise you to read it if you're into my take on things, specifically the FloMad stuff, the Black Sheep Bandit stuff. If you're a nomadic day gamer, if you work on your laptop, if you travel, if you're interested in quitting the 9-to-5, all that stuff, then you will love it, all right? And please try and ignore the politics, because like me, not interested in it. And it's weird that he advises against it in the book, and then that's what he went on to do. But we shan't look at Harry Brown the man today. We shall look at what he says in the book. First of all, why you're not free, because perhaps you're listening to this, or just think in general why people are not free. The two main reasons he says: number one is you don't know the options available to you. You think you know the options perhaps, but there is another way. Perhaps there's a middle ground between the two binary things you're thinking of. And the second reason why people or you are not free is that you've accepted some assumptions that restrict you, that restrain you. So you're living with being shackled to something, and you'd think, well, that's just how life is, that's just the roll of the dice, that's how I grew up, that's what my mother was like, this is the city I live in, this is my job. Well, okay, got to make the best of it, you know, got to suffer. That's quite a Russian philosophy, you know, beauty without suffering is impossible, Russians say. Suffering is part of life. Okay, in a way I accept that, but let's see if there's another way. And he says, like I said, concentrate on yourself, right? This is very Darwinian. He speaks about the virtues of selfishness, and this is where people go and write really negative reviews about the book. They say, oh, what a prick, you know, dissing altruism. He's just talking about being selfish and thinking about yourself and sorting yourself out. This is ridiculous. What about family? What about church? What about society? Blah, 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 blah. Well, we'll come on to that. But ask yourself the question, are you selfish enough? All right, are you concentrating on yourself before you try to change the world and change other people? Now, this is where he starts to unpick the lack of freedom. And he says we are in different kinds of traps. Okay, mental traps, physical traps, physiological traps. And he labels them. The first one is the identity trap, where in life you're persuaded that you should be someone other than who you are right now. So, okay, changing for the better, of course, is good. But pressure from other people to, you know, wear the tie, become the doctor, go to this college, do this. We've all experienced that. So that's trapping a lot of people, because they're living up to somebody else's expectations. The second identity trap, he says, believing that other people think and feel just like you, or they should. So you have this assumption and then you get pissed off when they don't. So that realization that you can't control other people's natures, just your reaction to them. Again, sounds self-helpy and so obvious, but that is extremely hard to internalize and practice. Not trying to change other people, just changing your reaction to them and the situation. The intellectual trap that a lot of nerds like myself suffer from, that you think you can change your emotions with your IQ. You know, you should feel a certain way because you've sorted this out. I'm this kind of person. Why do I feel like this? Why am I like this? And you get angry with your own emotions. That makes your day game suffer, your dating suffer, your social intelligence suffer. Yeah. The next one is an emotional trap. Linked with the intellectual trap, when you think you can make life decisions, big decisions, even small decisions, without emotions. You say, oh, I'm not controlled by my emotions. They don't affect me. When quite clearly they do. Human beings are extremely emotional. We don't need to say how emotional women are, how all their decision making is emotional, but men too. And we make huge life decisions. I've got mates that have made ridiculous life decisions, or rather ridiculously big life decisions about getting married, having babies, taking on someone else's kids, moving to another country, just from emotions. Perhaps drunken emotions or late at night. I know never to make a decision in the evening because my emotions are a bit skewed in the evening. That's when the black dog comes sometimes, or you know, when you've had a few beers. Yeah, you never pull out your phone and start texting girls, and you never make big big decisions about moving to Australia after you've had a few beers in the evening and you're getting all emotional. Yeah, and please don't text those girls or send dick pics late in the evening. The next trap, which I've spoken about in terms of the purity fantasy, is the morality trap. When people feel that because they were raised in a certain culture or a certain religion, their family is a certain religion with their own moral code, the country has its own moral code, then therefore that's the only thing that can possibly be right, and therefore they have to follow it. And if they don't follow it, they feel really guilty, so they're stuck in that trap. That's a huge trap for people. And on last week's podcast, when I spoke to Mr. A about why you can have a girl in your bed, or rather he could have a girl in his bed who wanted to have sex with him but he couldn't, and we've spoken often together about why that's something inside him from his religious background, the rather stifled belief that it's wrong, sex is wrong, sex before marriage, you know, girls don't like sex, etc., etc. So think about that. Do you suffer from that kind of morality trap? The unselfishness trap. You're told all the time, even in movies like It's a Wonderful Life, you know, don't think about yourself. Others' happiness, the happiness of others, should be before yours. So from a very early age, you're told not to be selfish and to share. And that's great. We'll come back to why altruism has evolved and it's win-win and it's great. But if you're just putting your mum's happiness or your sister's happiness or your colleague's happiness before yours, then that's classic Mr. Nice Guy. So when the guy's on a date, he's thinking about the girl. Is she okay? Is the drink okay? Is the temperature okay? Is she happy with this? And he's not really tapped into what he really wants, what he really thinks, what makes him happy. And girls want you to be the rock. They want you to lead. So classic Mr. Nice Guy, believing in unselfishness. Yeah, jerks, assholes, players. They're selfish, all right? Narcissism, it's at the heart of being a player, but we can talk about why it can be win-win at the end. The group trap, which I've spoken about before, herd behavior, sheep mentality. I think of Japanese culture for this one, you know. You must work with others to achieve more. So the group, the team, right? Going by yourself, being the black sheep, that's wrong, that's weird, you shouldn't do it. Tom, why aren't you married? Tom, why aren't you working in a big company? Tom, why don't you have children? It's so weird, it's so wrong. If you have this instinctive reaction, that's a trap. Because who says it's wrong? Let's examine it. That's what the book examines. Then he goes into government traps. And I shall go over these briefly because I don't want to get into politics. And as I said, irony of ironies, he got into politics. The first government trap, he says, is that the belief is that you should support it. So you grew up in that country, therefore you should believe everything the government says and support it. The second government trap is to obey laws. And this gets slammed in the review section for his book, because people are on their moral soapbox saying, I can't believe you're saying don't obey certain laws about paying taxes, etc., etc. This is disgraceful. We wouldn't do this in our Christian society. That's not exactly what he's saying, but he's saying look into laws and think about bending them in certain situations. Okay, nothing crazy, but again, read into it and take a wider stance, zoom out, don't have that knee-jerk reaction of, what is he saying? This must be wrong. You must obey laws. Well, that's sheep behavior, right? Stop, question, think, zoom out. That's all he's saying for government trap number two. Government trap number three is that you believe you can just count on your government, right? You don't need to take responsibility, not even your family. The government will sort it out. And then when they don't, or when something happens, you're shocked and you're angry, and then you march on the street and you get all bitter because they didn't sort out your problems. Government trap number four. You think your government's so powerful, or the world governments are so powerful, that you can't have freedom. It's a conspiracy, they're out to get you, everybody's spying on you, the world is terrible. So Tom, what are you saying? I can't even read this book, because what's the point? That's the email I'll get, or the comment I'll get. What's the point, you know? The world is just going to the dogs, everything's shit. Elvis is still alive on the moon with a Loch Ness monster. Tom, you got to get into conspiracy theories, etc., etc. As I said, I'm skimming over government traps because you're on controversial territory. The despair trap, which I've spoken about in many podcasts. You see, I was making these podcasts and I hadn't even read the book. I promise you, I only read it, November 2017. So when I was reading all this stuff, I was like, yep, that's in a podcast, that's in a video, I've said that, I believe that. Amazing. I wish I could buy you a beer, Harry Brown. The despair trap, where you put responsibility on other people, saying, this person is stopping me being free. It's not my fault, okay? It's my dad's fault, or it's my mum's fault, or like I said, it's society's fault, or it's this political party's fault, or it's because I'm in this country. I often get that comment on YouTube videos. It's in my country, there's nothing I can do. So therefore, there's no way I can be free. I'll just give up, right? The despair trap. The rights trap. So people who are really into, you know, amendments and human rights and bills and laws, they say, well, I can only be free if we manage to pass all these laws and rights, and it's the rights that make us free. Again, I don't want to get into it because Americans are already at their keyboards ready to write to me. I'm just saying, zoom out in a wider sense, okay? The utopia trap, which is linked to all this, where people think, I can only be free when I'm 65, when I'm on that cruise, when I get that car, when I make that amount of money, when I create the exact conditions, not just for me, but I need to make them for everybody, and then I'll be free. Okay, you see? Again, passing responsibility, passing the buck. The burning issue trap. This is amazing. He wrote this in 1973. He would be nodding today. Where people get so caught up in social issues and social justice. They say, we need to sort all this stuff out. I need to march. I need to protest. I need to heckle. Otherwise, I can't be free. All right, so I'm going to get really involved in all these burning issues, which actually have nothing to do with me, and then I'll sort out my freedom. He writes a bit on the previous investment trap, which again, I've made a podcast on, or I've spoken a lot about the sunk cost fallacy in economics, where people think, I've gone down this road so far, I've got to keep going. So Tom, I've been dating this girl for 2 years and I don't like her and she doesn't like me, but we've moved in together and I have to keep going. Or I've had a child with this woman and I hate her and she hates me, but I got to keep going because we bought a house. Yeah, that's the sunk cost fallacy. But remember, sunk costs are sunk. So stop, turn around. We'll come back to costs and how to reduce those costs. The box trap, which he really unpicks in part 2 and part 3 of the book, where you think you're well, you're in a situation, but you have the assumption that the cost of getting out of that situation is too big to even consider. So like I said, you've got the house or you've got the kid or you're in a marriage or a relationship and you just can't even imagine stopping and turning around. You're in a box, the walls are so high, you can't even imagine getting out. So you're trapped in that sense. And he also says the certainty trap. And this is the binary thinking that I've spoken about in a podcast, where a lot of people, certainly a lot of guys, because the human mind has evolved to think in binary terms, that's very helpful. It's a shortcut to making decisions, but they take it to the extreme. So they say this religion is everything. It's the ultimate truth. It's the only truth. Or this political party is everything. It's the ultimate truth. It's the only truth. This individual is the leader. He's the only leader for me. Okay, so they have this certainty. And then when they discover a little niggle in that religion or political party or person, they freak out. They're angry. They're disappointed. They say, I was so certain that this was the truth, and now it's not. I've been let down. Wah, 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 throw the toys out of the pram. It's not fair. And this is the reason why I can't be free. Yeah? Okay, so that's all the traps. He goes into them each in a lot more detail, but you get the idea. Why people are not free. Yeah? And then you start thinking, okay, well, this is a bit of woolly philosophy. I hope he's going to talk about taking action, and thank fuck he does. Okay? So just like what I believe in. How to take direct action to get out of all those traps. And ultimately, he's saying, mind your own business, i.e. focus on what you can control, not what you can't. And again, sounds very easy. You can sit there and say, yeah, Tom, I know all that. I do all that every day. Really? Or do you whine? Do you moan? Are you on comments and forums? Are you blaming girls? Are you blaming your family? Are you blaming your government? Are you blaming your dodgy knee? Or are you saying, look, what can I control? Fuck all this noise, right? Let me focus on myself. This is why selfishness is good. Let me sort myself out. And then I will try and take on the world if you want to put on a superhero costume. Right, the interesting thing practically is his term of the box. And you remember I said that one of the big traps is the box trap, where you think you're in a situation and the cost is too much to get out of it. So his definition of a box is yeah, an unpleasant situation that restricts your freedom. So think of what box you're in now. Is it your location? Is it your relationship? Is it friendships? Is it family? But you stay in them because you say, well, I'm comfortable. And recently I went on a date with a married Polish girl, and we were talking about her husband, or she was rather moaning about her husband, and she got round to the reason why she's still with him. She's only 26, but she said, I'm still with him because it's so many problems, but it's comfortable. So sunk cost fallacy, and you know, stability and comfort, good for the lover and good for the player, but she's with her husband because it's comfortable. She's in that box. Harry Brown says very correctly, you're paying a price every day you remain in that box. So you're staying in that town, you're staying in that job, you're staying in that relationship, you're staying with that friend, whatever it is. And you're already paying a price for it. You might have been in this box for a day, a week, a year, 10 years in a marriage. So you've paid a price already. Sunk costs are sunk, but you accept you've paid a price already. And his big take on this, his big revelation, he says, is that there's always a way out. Now, obviously, there's situations like a terminal illness or the world's going to end, but largely, like 99.9% of the time, for your box, there's a way out, but you have to pay a price to get out of it. Right? It's uncomfortable. So you end the relationship and it's going to hurt. Or you cut off the friend, it's going to hurt. You move locations or you buy a van, it's going to cost you money, it's going to cost you time. There's a price. But it's better than continuing to pay the price of being in the box. And you think, oh, I'm not paying a price living in this place or being with this girl. Yes, you are. So think about the price you're paying. And this is the revelation. If you stop and say, rather than you know, the sunk cost thing of going down this road because I've gone so far down it already, you stop and you calculate. You can do this on a piece of paper. What's the price? Maybe it's a literal price in dollars. What's the price of getting out of this situation? And it's uncomfortable, but it's going to be better in the long term than being in the box. So you could think of a guy on the run And he's okay. You could think, well, a criminal on the run, he's free, but he's not. He's under so much pressure, and he's got the anxiety, he can't sleep at night. Whereas if he hands himself in, he confesses, he does the time because he's done the crime, he gets it out the way, that's the price he's paying to get out of the box to get ultimate freedom. It's a crude example, but you get the idea. Yeah? So look at the price to get out of a bad situation. And Harry Brown says, I've scribbled down, the sooner you pay the price, the less it costs. That's very interesting. The sooner you pay the price, the less it costs. If you don't end this relationship, I said this to a mate recently, if you don't cut it off now, you know, shoot the puppy, rip off the plaster. He knew it was a bad relationship. But if you keep it going for another 6 months, a year, 2 years, it's going to get harder, it's going to get worse, it's going to take longer to get over. So you can stay comfortable now, but the price is going up and up and up and up for your freedom. All right, practical notes to finish. As I said, the book is too vast to tell you everything, but some practical notes on how to be free, his kind of manifesto, without being political. First, he's saying the dreaded words of be yourself, as in don't be false. And we all know this, but he's saying specifically to attract those that are like you, you want to polarize. So this is very true for day game. We've spoken about this, differentiation. We've spoken about this for marketing. Divide your audience. And the more I do things, the more I do Black Sheep Bandit, the more you put your head above the parapet, the more you're on YouTube, you get more hate, but you get more loyal fans. You start getting super fans. And when I started doing the Black Sheep Bandit videos, I got a lot of comments and emails from guys saying, what the fuck is this? Where's the boobs? Where's the hot girls? I don't want to see a van. I'm not interested in travel. But at the same time, I got loads of emails and loads of positive comments from people saying, this is great. This is exactly what I'm into. This is exactly what I was thinking of doing. So you divide people, you polarize in a good way by saying, this is what I'm interested in. This is my channel. This is what I would like to do. So yeah, not pandering to other people rather than being yourself. And he's not going into day game and dating, don't worry. But he does talk about relationships. And I was nodding in this section, actually. I think he was a married man. So I don't know whether he followed his own advice, but he says, you're with that person because it's a win-win situation. And if you've watched my Sexual Market Value, Sexual Economics YouTube video, you'll know what I mean. That you're in an altruistic win-win partnership if you're having a kid or if you're in a long-term relationship, because you're both getting something out of it. But he says, as soon as one of you isn't, you have to stop. All right? And you have to have alone time. You have to have your own hobbies. You have to have your own friends. And the time you spend together should only be win-win. Again, sounds obvious, sounds super easy, very hard to implement. But he's right, right? I spend time with girls because it's win-win, right? You get the sex, she gets the sex, it's lover, she's interested in a lover, you have a bit of affection because you have an adventure, she has an adventure. As soon as it starts getting weird for me or for her, stop. All right, we won't go into the whole monogamy or bisexual argument today. The next point, practically, he says, you must make the move to be free, nobody will do it for you. Well, yeah, again, sounds obvious, but revelation, right? Revolution. Sit down and think about that today. You have to make the move to be free. So you have to book the ticket. You have to quit your job. You have to end the relationship. You have to change country. You have to start day game. You have to approach. It's you, right? Stop putting and stop pointing the finger. Stop putting the responsibility on somebody else. Take responsibility. A little practical tip, he says, is don't worry about small sums of money. Chasing somebody up for $5 or $15 or, you know, standing in a queue to get a $2.99 discount, whatever. He's right that it's time wasted, and time is much more valuable than getting that $2.99. So he's saying don't be petty, basically, and I'll go with that. Sooner the better, he says. Realize that others don't see things from your knowledge or perspective or objective, and they won't change. So stop nagging people, stop trying to convert people, I should stop trying to preach their game. They'll find you, they'll come to you. You know, you can take the horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And other people are not like you. They didn't grow up in the same place, they don't have the same background, the same education, the same objectives. So stop trying to convert them. That's where all that stress and rage and anger comes from. Standing on a box shouting at other people, basically saying, be like me, be like me, be like me. Well, it's draining and it's wasting your time coming back to time. As we said before, he says, don't make big decisions when you're emotional. Definitely not. So clear head when you're thinking about big decisions, specifically hooking up with a girl monogamously. Definitely when you're thinking about moving in or marriage or children, for fuck's sake, don't make those decisions emotionally. So stop. Go to sleep, think about it in the morning, leave it for a few weeks, right? Ask your friends, be rational, write stuff down. You're a bloke, that's the advantage of having a binary brain sometimes. Don't take on something, he says, without understanding the time commitment and the loss of freedom to you. So again, that comes back to the marriage and the kids and even the monogamous relationship and the girlfriend thing, right? Just don't take that lightly, because that's a massive time sink and a money sink. Stop complaining, as I always say, Harry Brown says it, stop complaining, look at how to get out of the situation. So I did a podcast on being angry. There's nothing wrong with being angry, it's very good to be angry. I'm not saying be happy all the time and pretend life is good, but when you're angry, use that as fuel to say, fuck this situation, fuck this, I'm going to get out of it myself. I'm going to change something to stop making me so angry. Removing yourself from the situation. And he links that to avoiding partnerships. And I've said that before. Yeah, working with friends, it's going to end in a disaster. Working with people who have different opinions, you think you can change them. No, I'm certainly the one-man band. That's the black sheep bandit philosophy. And now, that's not saying don't ever have a team or don't ever have partnerships. No, but make them win-win, make them temporary, make sure contracts are signed, make sure you can get out of it, etc. But the central tenet is stop trying to control others, yeah? It doesn't mean antisocial selfishness. You can be sensibly sociable, that's what he says, or be enlightened with your selfishness. So that's why the baker bakes the bread, as the old saying goes. He's not doing it because he loves you, he's doing it because you give him money. He might like baking bread, but you get the bread, he gets the money. That's an example of evolved altruism, and it's very good. So this is not about being totally selfish. People misunderstand that. It's easy to dismiss this book as, oh, this is just selfish. Claptrap, society's going down the drain. But ironically, by doing this, by being sensibly sociable, so being careful of partnerships, but making them win-win, and being an enlightened, selfish person, you sort yourself out and then you don't get into all these niggles and tied situations with other people, yeah? And rather than protesting and joining massive campaigns and trying to re-educate everybody, sort yourself out, yeah? Again, stop trying to control others, sort yourself out. All right, I've gone over time by 5 minutes, but I had to get that out there because I wanted to make podcast 150 on something much wider. So there you go. You are the common denominator in all your problems, and therefore you are free as soon as you realize it. And we shall leave it with MYOB. Mind your own business. Please don't leave political comments. Jesus, that's not the aim of the podcast. And we're not discussing Harry Brown. And read the book, really, before you leave a massive long comment about why selfishness is bad. You really got to read the book to understand it. Written in 1973. My word. And as I said a few podcasts back, originally I was going to write a mindset book about the Black Sheep Bandit, but that book is already out there. It's called How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World by Harry Brown. I shall put the title below. But that was podcast 150. The next one shall be from the former Czechoslovakia, my father's homeland. I'm driving on a pilgrimage through all the day game cities, and it's going to be beautiful. There's going to be some dark beer very soon across the border. Until next week, keep grabbing life by the horns. Stay horny. Ta-da.